Oh, Kira, congratulations. Look at her tiny fingers. She's beautiful, just like her mommy.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got a name yet?
Well, we're thinking
she's going to call her Brooklyn. Brooklyn, Massachusetts, Phoenix, Arizona.
Your vote is your voice. So if you don't speak up, someone else is deciding for you.
Baltimore, Kentucky, Murphy O'Neill.
Who is that?
Hospital porter. Just back from his American road trip.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Oh, Brookie Massachusetts, come to Auntie Hannah.
On the latest episode of Real Health with me, Carl Henry, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Ava Orsmond, chatting all things life lessons.
People often say to me when they come to my clinics, and now especially when they come to the hotel, they are like, you know, Ava, you are not the persona you the TV have, you know, made you to be. And actually, sometimes I'm thinking, my God, that's terribly sad that there is that negative. There's some people who absolutely don't like me because what they saw on television.
As ever, it's available on all podcast platforms.
Well, hello and welcome to a bonus edition of The Left Wing. Well, the number one ranked team in the world has beaten the reigning world champions. It finished here at the Aviva Stadium, Ireland 19, South Africa 16. I'm joined here by Rory O'Connor and Keen Tracy. Rory, to you first. What an incredible game that was.
Yeah, Sinead, it was absolutely absorbing from minute one. The first half was brutal in its physicality, like very few games I've ever seen. You know, I was lucky to be in Pretoria in 09 for that famous Lions test. Maybe it didn't get quite to that level, but South Africa came out looking like they had a couple of scores to settle. They threw themselves into every tackle, every ruck. They made life really difficult for Ireland. They shut down Ireland's attack. They made Ireland look very ordinary at times, but Ireland hung in. They stayed patient. And for all of South Africa's dominance in so many different areas, they never made up counting the scoreboard. They picked the wrong 10. Vlemsa had a nightmare. That's not Ireland's problem. And after halftime, Ireland got themselves together. They learned from whatever happened in the first half, and they came out with that double salvo. You know, the bomb squad really didn't deliver at all. Ireland got ahead, and once they got ahead, they were able to keep South Africa just about at arm's length. But we saw the kind of ferocity, the 80-minute performance that South Africa can bring in that end game. And if they had a kicker, maybe it might have been a different story. But you have to credit Ireland. That was a phenomenal game of rugby, a phenomenal test match. And they doubled down on winning a series in New Zealand by surviving that first half and thriving in the second.
Yeah, Keen, there were so many questions about Ireland coming into this game. They fairly answered them here tonight, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely, Sinead. And this was the kind of test that I think everyone was hoping to see. I think, you know, beating New Zealand down there is an incredible achievement. But there were still, certainly in my mind, a couple of lingering questions about, you know, can Ireland hack it against the most physical teams in the world? And it doesn't come much more physical than South Africa. And like Rod said, they went toe-to-toe and, you know, South Africa rolled off the bomb squad, but the bomb squad were defused, and that's the reality of it. And I think Ireland, as a squad effort, like, should take absolutely enormous confidence from this going forward. I mean, to lose Conor Murray in the first half, James and Gibson Park was outstanding when he came on, but, like, Tadhg Furlong came off as well, and you're kind of thinking, God, like, this is going to could be a bit of a struggle considering what the South Africa are going to roll off the bench in the front row. But Philly Beelam came on and won a couple of scrum penalties. Jimmy O'Brien came on in the centre, really unlucky for Stuart McCloskey. Like, you were thinking his physicality was going to be missed because he had started really well. But Jimmy O'Brien slotted in and looked like he'd been playing test rugby all his career. And I think that is... I made this point in the summer about the Maori games. I think that's a success in coaching and the way Andy Farrell goes about bringing players into the setup. They don't get dropped in. Like, Jimmy O'Brien has been around the squad for a few months now. He was in New Zealand, supposed to be playing for Ireland A last night, ironically enough, and comes in at outside centre, which he can play really anywhere in the back line, but in the back three is where he's most comfortable with. And he came in and he looked absolutely brilliant there, up against some big men in D'Alende and Jesse Creel. And that, to me, just summed up, I think, where Ireland are at the moment. They're supremely confident in their ability, and it was really encouraging to see that they took their game plan to them. I mean, the second try that they scored was, like, absolutely outstanding, I think, on the counter attack, and you think that's been one of the big improvements in Mike Catt's attack. So there was just so many aspects of the performance, I think, to be pleased with. Obviously South Africa threw everything at it, and Ireland were hanging on at different stages, but that's going to happen against the world champions, and to have hung on and to have seen it out is remarkable. And it was one of the great, I'd say, occasions at the Aviva. The atmosphere was off the charts. I don't know if you guys agree.
I want a second test. Why, like, this should be a series. Surely we should be getting out the point that we've next week to play a game in Cork, and then the finale up in Belfast and Windsor Park or something. Like, this is, like, you know, it's so sad. It's such an annoying thing that we only get to play them once. And, like, the game in next year's World Cup looms so large, because South Africa won't pick Valencia 10 for that game. They'll learn from this as well. Both teams have to learn from this. We, you know, this is the world order as it stands now in November 2022, but it doesn't guarantee Ireland anything. And even the way South Africa finished just marks them out. Like, they were so hard. They didn't die. They kept coming and they kept believing. And that's what made it so enthralling. Like, another team would have just phoned it in after that, you know, once they went kind of the two scores behind. But that South Africa team, they just refused to go quietly.
Yeah, keen as well, because Ireland just soaked up so much pressure, didn't they, in that first half. And as you both mentioned, they were just almost hanging on at times, but, like, brilliant defensively. And just that turning point then, 6-6 at halftime, those two tries in the space of 3 minutes, the Josh van der Fleer, incredible, the Mack Hansen try that he finished over there in the corner, brilliant team tries.
Yeah, like, Ireland have kind of made a habit of this. They did it in the summer at the start, where they started really well and they kind of had a bit of a double punch, and it knocked the stuffing out of South Africa. I know they came back at the end, but, I mean, Josh van der Fleer, the way he finished that try was just absolutely remarkable, because South Africa looked like they had the Ireland maul where they wanted. And just on it, I would say Ireland's maul defence was absolutely immense today. I think a real feather in Paul O'Connell's cap. I mean, we speak about the size of the men, but technically it was just outstanding. They really stifled their Springboks maul, but on the try it was just brilliant, because South Africa felt like they had Ireland in touch, exactly where they wanted them, and somehow Josh van der Fleer manages to get the ball down, and then they follow it up with the try on the counter attack, like I said, and the amount of players that were involved in it, again, forwards and back linking, one of the biggest, I would say, hallmarks of the Andy Farrell era and Mike Katz attack is how comfortable the forwards are in the ball. And I think that try epitomised it as well. Just a quick thinking of Caelan Doris to throw that offload when he was hitting the deck was just outstanding. And Mack Hansen to finish it in the corner. Yeah, it was just outstanding. And just on Rudd, you know, looking for a series, I'd say as much as we would absolutely love it, you'd imagine the bodies in the morning are going to be absolutely aching. Like, there was serious carnage in fairness from the box as well. It wasn't just Ireland, like, they lost Lou Diagher as well to an injury, but I'd imagine there's going to be a lot of sore bodies in the morning.
What about that, Rory? Yeah,
absolutely. And, like, last night took a toll as well, that New Zealand A game, you know, Kieran Frawley's a big doubt for that Fiji game, so they're probably going to have to add to the squad. But they've shown that even losing Robbie Henshaw in midweek, then having to bring in Stuart McCluskey, losing Stuart McCluskey midway through the first half, they showed it to be themselves to be adaptable. They don't get knocked off course in the way that maybe the previous Ireland team did. They don't get bothered by that stuff as much. They rejigged their back line and looked comfortable. So they've obviously been doing, you know, preparing Jimmy O'Brien in training. He looked comfortable throughout. So, like, I don't really think it matters what happens in the rest of this window now. I think this window is now a bit about development. Look, if they should beat Fiji, they, you know, Australia, like, as long as it's tight, I think, you know, it's a chance to get maybe minutes into Joey Carberry. This was the game. This was the whole window hedged on this game. Now it's about getting, you know, minutes into other bodies. And we'll talk about that again during the week. But this was what this month was all about. And Ireland delivered a performance that gives you, look, it doesn't guarantee anything for next year. But because these two teams are meeting, it obviously has a World Cup context. And it gives that team huge confidence going into that World Cup that what they did in New Zealand and what they've been doing over the course of this window, just, you know, it's building towards something that could be quite special.
And they've showed Keane that they've learned those lessons. Why was it different this time?
Well, I just think the game plan they're playing is different. And, you know, we didn't see, like, it wasn't like Ireland threw the ball around and played all this mad free-flowing rugby. They actually mixed it up. There was plenty of contestable box kicks. They really varied the game well. But to me, it just, this Ireland team are in a different place. And I know both camps were really trying to downplay the significance of, you know, what a win for either team would do here today in terms of the World Cup. And while it is very, very different, I think if South Africa had come here and done a number on Ireland physically, I think that could have left scars potentially in the same way that 2019, the England Six Nations game. And now you're talking about the complete opposite. Ireland are going to go into that World Cup. It's going to be a very different challenge, obviously. Like, Ireland are very tough to beat at the Aviva, it should be said, particularly when the crowd is like it was tonight. It's not always as raucous as this, but it was really, really special. But Ireland will take massive, massive confidence from that, particularly in the manner, I think, in which they ground out the win, because it's not like this South African team were missing lots of players or anything today. I would fully agree with Rudd. I would be shocked if we see Damien Willemse playing 10 for South Africa again. I think it was just, it's an experiment, but I just don't think it's working. So they'd probably have Andre Pollard back. But other than that, it was fully locked and loaded, and they should take huge confidence from it.
Okay, you mentioned earlier as well about the scrum halves, Rory. A lot of talk, obviously, about Conor Murray coming into this game on the occasion of his 100th cap. And you kind of put it well earlier in this week when you said that it's going to be an important game either way for him. Obviously, so unfortunate to go off of that injury just before halftime. Then Jameson Gibson-Park comes on. I mean, straight away, he seemed to just make an immediate impact.
He did. And I think, you know, Conor Murray was playing to a game plan. He was box kicking. When Ireland were losing collisions a lot in that first half, and, you know, what you do when you're losing collisions is you go to the air. And they got some success out of that as well. I mean, the first penalty came off a Conor Murray box kick that was partially charged down. And the second penalty in the first half came off a Murray snipe that he got injured in doing it. And that's what forced him off. But Gibson Park, for all of Murray's class and his undoubted class, you don't get the 100 caps for Ireland and be trusted by the coaches that trust Conor Murray without having that class. Gibson Park just gives you that tempo. He gives you that snap decision making. He seems to be a second or two ahead of everyone else on the pitch. And he played a massive role in the second try. You know, it was him who spotted the gap, arced around, and then moved the ball on really, really well. He's probably the best scrum half. Well, he's one of the best scrum halves in the world. He's up there with DuPont and Aaron Smith. It's good company to be in. How New Zealand ever let him go is just a mystery, really. And look, Murray, you know, Murray's injury probably opens the door for Craig Casey, who had a difficult night last night. But, you know, I think he did enough to, you know, he didn't lose any credit tonight. I think Gibson Park just reinforced how good he is on no rugby. Himself and Hugo Keenan had played all season. So, like, he's a really important player for Ireland now. He's become such a fulcrum of the way Ireland attack, the way Ireland play. And that identity that really won the day today. We saw positive rugby won today against a team that couldn't move the ball beyond 10 for most of the day. And, like, South Africa, I admire what they do a lot of the time. But there were times where they had overlaps and they just tucked and ran. We saw Etzebeth through an unbelievable offload for the try at the end. If they'd brought a bit of ambition to their play, this might have been a very different story. And I guess maybe that's where they'll learn and they may evolve over the next 12 months. And with a better 10, they may get better results. But, you know, that's not about what today was about. Today was about, you know, an Ireland team who, even when they were being beaten down, kept believing, kept attacking, stayed true to their values and got the reward in the end.
And Josh Rinderfleer got man of the match, Keane. Do you agree with that? I mean, what can we say about this guy?
Yeah, like, to be honest, I thought you could have picked a couple from the pack. I thought James Ryan was outstanding. You know, this is a guy who there was question marks over him before the summer tour. He's had a really tough time with concussion. And, you know, Rudd had a piece with him in the paper today. And he spoke about how in New Zealand that he'd finally felt like he was starting to play without thinking about that again. And, you know, in the first test in New Zealand, he had a really tough day. And then against Sam Whitelock missed the second test, but he came back for a third and he got the better of him. So I thought that was a huge confidence boost for him, and he came today then and went toe to toe with probably the best second row pairing in the world. I know Luther Jagger went off, but Franco Mastard isn't a bad player to bring on. He could just as easily be starting, and I thought he was outstanding. Himself and Caelan Doris in the first half were going around hunting as a tag team, the two of them putting in double hits left, right, and centre. And at one stage, I turned to Rudd and I said it. I was like, how are the, like, every time they got off the floor, like any of the Irish players, there was just more enormous men running at them full tilt, and not for a second did any of them wilt. Any of the, I was about to say the green jerseys, but whatever color they were, the mixture color jerseys, got off the floor time and time again, and, you know, a bit of a cliche, but fought for each other as well, and like worked their absolute socks off. So you couldn't deny Josh van der Fleer the man of the match. But I thought players like Caelan Doris, James Ryan, and even Tyke Byrne was absolutely outstanding. But to a man, it almost feels like it's one of those games where it's almost unfair to pick a man of the match. It was loads of the backs as well who were outstanding. And, you know, Joey Carberry comes off the bench and, you know, it was only a couple of minutes, but sees out another one of Ireland's most famous victories. So he's certainly adding to his collection.
Yeah, and James Ryan as well had that great seal off Etzebeth as well. What do you think, Rory? Who stood out for you?
I think Caelan Doris was outstanding. I thought Johnny Sexton, he often gets overlooked in these discussions because we expect so much from him. I mean, he delivered at least four, if not five, on-the-line passes and got absolutely emptied. And one of them almost looked like he was going to force him off. Just before the try, the mall try, he was down for a long time as Ireland attacked and earned a penalty that they put into the corner for the try. The standards that he's setting at 37 are just remarkable. You know, I mean, it's 2 years ago, I didn't believe he'd make this World Cup. I didn't think he'd be able to do what he's doing. I'm happy to admit that. But, you know, he's proven me, he's proven other people wrong. He's phenomenal. And like, I think maybe what he does is sometimes overlooked because, you know, he does it so often and so regularly. He's been doing it for so long. But the way he kept attacking, the way he kept driving the team was really important. And Gary Ringrose had an understatedly excellent game. Keenan was, you know, won a couple of really key high balls. Mack Hansen, you know, showed up at times where Ireland really needed some go forward, and just a couple of steps here and there got them on the go forward. I don't think anyone had a bad game. The tight five struggled in the first half, but Porter grew into it. Furlong's clearly carrying something. He's only played 40 minutes this season. He was forced off again. That's a bit of a concern. But look, it was Van der Fleer. I think the back row is nearly always get the man of the match. And I guess in the battle, the kind of battle that we had, that's not to be, that's to be expected maybe. But I think Sexton deserves a serious mention as well.
Okay, and just before we go, Keane, then just to wrap, we all kind of know what's coming up next September in the Stade de France. How significant is this win in terms of that psychological edge?
Yeah, huge. I touched on it earlier. Like I said, if South Africa had come here and done a number on Ireland, I think we would all certainly have the same questions that we've had before. Oh, Ireland really struggle against the bigger teams. And look, a lot can change. There's going to be like different personnel. Like, I mean, you'd be very surprised if it was the same 2-15s, given that there's so long to go. But what it does is it gives Ireland belief. And Rudd probably hit the nail on the head earlier when he said, like, they've doubled down now on winning a series in New Zealand. That wasn't a flash in the pan. And, you know, even there were like a few naysayers when you come back, as there always will be, that, oh, this isn't a great All Blacks team, which it might not be, but it's still bloody hard to go down and win a series there. And to back that up in your very next game, which without having had any games together, like, let's not forget that South Africa have had the Rugby Championship, so they were coming in with far more kind of game time, more recent game time under their belt. And Ireland to string that kind of performance together after only, what was it, 2 weeks together, again, I would say is a real success on the culture that Andy Farrell and his coaches have built, because everyone just seems so in tune with what they're doing. And I think we saw signs again that they were trying to evolve their game plan, which I would say was the biggest criticism post 2018 going into the 2019 World Cup. They just did, they stood still and they didn't keep evolving. But you certainly saw them trying to mix their game up tonight, which for me I think bodes really well going into next September as well, Sinead.
Okay, well, a great night for Irish rugby. Keane and Rory, thanks a million for that. Now Will and Luke will be back next week to look back on this brilliant win. We'll be back on Thursday when the Ireland team to play Fiji will be announced, and we'll also be back in the next Saturday to review the Fiji game.